Beloved hearers of God's word, grace and peace to you from the one who was and who is to come. Amen. There are, without any doubt, times in our life when circumstances beyond our control rise up and crash down upon us. They upend whatever plans we might have once had. They turn into utter turmoil our own self-understanding at times, rock our world, and force us to take stock and try to gain our bearings again. There are times when circumstances beyond our control just rise up and crash over us. I guess I'm thinking about this today and this week because I'm thinking a lot about Mary, who we heard speaking this morning in the Gospel and in the words of the Magnificat. We enter Mary's story here kind of halfway through. The piece that precedes it is the Annunciation. It's when Gabriel the angel comes and speaks to Mary and delivers the message that God has for her, that she will be swept up in a doing that God has undertaken and begun, and she will play a special role in bearing a child that is destined to be holy, a healer, a reconciler, and a man of truth. And I guess what I've been wondering this week as I've been contemplating this, and the idea of being swept up in things that are larger than us, is how much power did Mary really have to say no? How much choice did she have in that moment? Now, lest you think that I'm saying something highly controversial, just asking the question, I can assure you that we could fill cathedral upon cathedral upon cathedral with books and tomes and papers and all articles where this question is debated. How much agency did Mary have? Was she really able when a messenger and a message from God comes to her, this barely teenage girl, peasant, unmarried, when this message comes to her and says, boy, you're about to get swept up in something big here. How much power did she have to push back against that? If she's human, like the rest of us, she was probably stunned and overwhelmed in that moment. And in fact, if you follow the dialogue between her and Gabriel, you'll see that it's not at all, well, I'll put it this way, I think the writer Luke leaves the question of whether Mary actually said yes kind of up in the air. When Gabriel has told her what is to happen, Mary says, how will this be? How is that going to work exactly? Now, that is not saying yes. Somebody comes to you and lays out a plan, and you say, how's that going to work? That's not the same as agreeing to it. But that's so that's what she asks. And Gabriel himself, or herself, I'm not sure what the gender of an angel is, Gabriel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. It doesn't really answer the question. It's pretty vague. If something comes upon me, and something enormously powerful overshadows me, I'm not sure I'm feeling like I'm in much control at that point. I think I might just be going along with what's happening. And even as we get to the end of their dialogue and that encounter that she has with Gabriel, we have those beautiful, that declaration that she makes at the end. But even that, if we examine it closely, I think it's still a bit ambiguous. She says, when Gabriel has laid out the plan, she says, "Let it be with me according to God's will. Let it be with me according to your will." Now, if I, when I asked my wife Christy to marry me, she responded, "Let it be with me according to your will," I'm not sure I would have went away thinking, was that a yes? Or was that a... What? It wasn't an enthusiastic yes. "Let it be with me according to your will." It's kind of this sense of, well, if this is going to happen, then here I am. And I think many times in our life, we find ourselves standing exactly in those moments. If this is going to happen, here I am. There are lots of things that we do not choose that come into our life and overwhelm us and overpower us, you know? If a partner decides the relationship is over and they're leaving, that is not something that we may be able to say yes or no to. It is. If my boss says, "We no longer have need of your services, Kevin," and shows me the door, that is not something that I might be able to say, "Oh no, I'm not going to do that." It's larger than me. And if we've ever heard those terrible words that we are ill, there's been a tragedy, someone we love is in trouble, then we know that there are times when things beyond our control come crashing down upon us and cause us to rethink everything. And it's not really a matter at that point of yes or no. And I think about Mary, and I think about, you know, whether she would have said yes. I think about parents. I mean, being a parent myself, if you have children or grandchildren, if God, you had this encounter with God where God said, "Your child, this is their destiny, this is their role," and knowing what we know about what would happen to Jesus, how that would end, I wonder how many of us would say, "Wonderful, take my William, take my Julian." How many of us might say, "You know, God, maybe you could choose someone else, because I'd really like them to, you know, live a life of being a carpenter and having a family and die very old comfortably in their bed surrounded by loved ones." So I'm not convinced that Mary enthusiastically said yes. I think she was confused. I think she was overwhelmed. I think she was partly excited and partly scared. And so she does what many of us would do. She goes to the home of a loved one. She goes to visit Elizabeth. And that's where we pick up our gospel this morning. She goes to see Elizabeth, who is also with child. Now, Elizabeth is much older, much more life experience. And when Elizabeth sees Mary coming and Mary greets her, it's this amazing moment where Elizabeth says three times to her, "You are blessed." I don't think Mary was feeling particularly blessed at that moment. I think she was feeling like she was caught up in something that she didn't know how it was going to end. And that's terrifying. And so to have someone who knows her and loves her and cares about her rush to her and embrace her, we're told the child leapt in Elizabeth's womb. Just a full embrace and saying, "Blessed are you. You are blessed. This isn't this isn't all bad, this isn't all scary. Three times, blessed are you, blessed is this child, and blessed is your faith, she says. Blessed that you would believe that God's promises can be counted on. And I think it's in that moment and in that embrace that Mary makes the one decision that she can make and that we can make when circumstances beyond our control come and crash through our plans. How do I respond? What do I do now? And although modern translations, have used a variety of words, Mary's response is the Magnificat. Magnify. Sometimes that's translated as praise or worship. But I'm a bit old school, and I like how Mary's response is to say, my soul will magnify the Lord in the midst of this drama, in the midst of this circumstance. That's what I choose to do, is to magnify God. When we think about that, to make God larger in that situation, to magnify God. And I think that's the affirmative agency that she has. That's the power that she has. It's to say, I am going to lift God up through the midst of this and make God as large as possible. Magnify. Now, the thing with magnifying is that not only does a magnifier make things larger, but a magnifier can also focus things more sharply. If you take a magnifying glass and put it up in the sun, it will focus and it will cause such heat as to produce fire. Fire of the Holy Spirit. And so whether we think about in our own lives, when things happen that we're not quite sure we've got any power over, but we know we're going for a ride, we can magnify God by inviting God to be as fully present in all of it as possible, and we can magnify God by drawing near and just concentrating all that we can on the light that God sends, the 1,000 points of light, to quote President Bush, all the light that God sends, and just concentrate and focus that in our lives. I have a friend in Nanaimo who is currently at home in receiving palliative care. And every 10 days or so, I travel up there to visit him. And we talk, we laugh, sometimes we cry, sometimes we argue. But he never fails to tell me how blessed he is, how blessed he feels in his life. That magnifies God in that room, in that visit, to such a degree that you can feel the warmth and the power just being in the presence. And whether it's every cuddle from his wife or every sloppy kiss from his grandchildren, he says, I am blessed, come what may. And he never fails to remind me that I am blessed too, as he sends me back down that highway to go home. So I think I will take comfort in his example, and I will be inspired by Mary's example, and I hope all of us in whatever circumstances we find ourselves swept up in from time to time, we'll be able to face that by saying, "My soul magnifies my God, and I will praise God." Amen.